experience, wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just...
It's time for the OG's Passing Thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
All right. Passing thoughts. The first one, while we're in the mode of giving me a lot of credit for things I said last
week. Who said all that? Wait on.
I need to find a way to discredit Chief.
Yeah, exactly. We need to knock him down at this point.
Those are y'all words, not mine.
I got some too.
Okay, excellent. I said paint by numbers. What was the other one you mentioned?
You mentioned five and one.
Another thing I said, Joe Mixon's going to play.
You did say that. And I did. I heard it too. I sure did hear that. Like, actually, I need to get some of the Mixon audio. Yeah. Let me see. I got to find it. I'll make sure to double back up at some point.
But he was asked about
being back in this game and doing what he was doing and like when he knew that he'd be able to do that. And he stopped the question was like, hey, I just want you to know I've been on the field. And like, you got the audio here?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and hear this.
It felt great. Obviously, without the linemen and fullback and receivers and tight ends being in sync and, being locked in on them blocks, bro, like, that don't happen for me. So I'm just happy that everybody trusts in this scheme and trusts in everybody's technique and doing everything the right way. So it was a great thing, great feeling. And, I just thank God that, we got out with the dub and I ended up healthy at the end of the game.
That's a grateful Joe Mixon. It's another clip that I didn't cut, but I know that Sean and Seth had it this morning before Texas Radio, and Seth mentioned on it when you pair that with the audio that we were kind of parsing on Friday, it did seem like he was kind of chomping at the bit to get back, and you definitely had that perspective.
Well, what I was really getting at on the passing thoughts is this: what if they have a 1-2 punch in the backfield?
Oh, with Akers. With your boy Akers.
There we go.
I'm off of Akers.
Good job, Ben.
No, I didn't make any predictions.
Yeah.
I didn't make any predictions on Akers. I said I thought he was better.
If it was up to you, Pierce wouldn't even be on this team.
How that 54-yard field. Hold that.
Okay, but you digress, Figgy. What if they have a 1-2 punch?
It's a good question. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's used that word of like 1-2 punch as well. I'm super excited for the coach's show today as well to hear more of his thoughts on this one.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing to have, to have a 1-2 punch. And I think that it was also impacted by Bobby Slowick. I think he filtered in a little bit more gas scheme type stuff. One of the things that we were wondering does Damian Pierce coming back kind of force them, or maybe not force them, but lead them to do some things that might actually be good for them?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looked like they did some of those things. So it's possible, especially if Damian can have the opportunity to break runs like that.
Yeah, yeah. Another passing thought here. Not all of them are always going to be on the field related, and this one is not. This might have been the best uniform game of the year, certainly for the Texans and maybe the NFL. Between those Patriots uniforms... Those
gorgeous.
Are sweet.
They're gorgeous.
Man. And the Texans uniform, that's a great look on the Texans.
There's a good set of throwbacks in the league right now because you have that one with the Patriots. You have the Seahawks throwbacks that are cool. You have the creamsicles, and I'm missing one that I really like. But you've got a nice set of throwbacks.
That was a big time uniform game. That was and then throw in the H-Town logo on the hoodies. They had a little spice.
That was like, look, the white jerseys that the Texans wore, cool. Yeah. I didn't feel like I needed to remark on that. Those hoodies
were
I need one of them. Yeah. Like with the, I don't know, is that like the really deep blue or whatever that they've got?
Deep steel
blue.
But
it basically looked black with the red H. I was like, oh, okay, this is tough. I need one of those.
It's a damn shame the Patriots had to get their ass whooped in those throwbacks, man.
That was a good uniform.
No, that's the reason why you get whooped in those, because it makes it feel just a little bit better for you.
Exactly. Another passing thought here, and again, this is just stream of consciousness as I'm watching the game. Was not having Nico in the lineup a blessing in disguise?
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
No, sir. Because they still weren't all that great on third down in this game.
But I'm talking about specifically to Stephon and Tank.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was good for Tank because he just had more opportunities or ops, as they like to call it. More room to apply his trade. And then you saw him get into his bag when it came to making difficult catches and those types of things. But I do think that overall, offensively, passing wise, you probably look better. And I mean, that's not a bold thing to say.
Yeah.
If Nico's there, so I won't say it's a blessing in disguise.
Well, nobody would want it.
You managed to make a shake.
Nobody would want it. Certainly wouldn't want it to happen. But it was a passing thought. Like this is just stuff that pops into my head.
Fair enough.
Like this. I feel like Jimmy Ward and Kamari Lassiter sent a very clear message to D'Amico and Nick Caserio. You got to go out and find something in the defensive backfield.
Mm.
You got to go find something. Eric Murray had the pick and all that.
He didn't have the pick.
But he was not good.
In coverage, yeah.
He was not good. And, you know, I guess, you know, your cornerback opposite Derek held up okay, but I feel like they need something in the secondary.
The secondary, obviously, if you're going to have injuries, you're going to have questions. That's something that we've seen all the way since back at camp. You knew you did not have the depth that would have made you feel great, and it is a war of attrition type sport. I don't know if that's something that we could really speak to right now. That feels like something that you deal with mm-hmm. once you get to the postseason, because I don't know that you're making any level of trades, right? We're talking depth as opposed to kind of starting pieces. So I hear you. Yeah. I just don't know what we're supposed to do at this moment. You know, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel, here's another note. I get you. I just feel like if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender, which, you know, I feel like they are now, you got to do those tweaks. Another passing thought here. You know how, we can talk about this show. This show hit the ground running, but about 2 weeks in, we felt like we're here. We're comfortable. We're in a groove. I thought of us in a very weird way with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. I feel like
were we just chopping wood? Is that what you're saying? We were just carrying water and chopping wood?
Like they were good from the start, but I feel like they got comfortable yesterday. Like with who they are. I
feel like they're hitting their stride.
And how they're playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like we're going to talk about Will Anderson, of course. But it's like they just looked like this is how we do it.
Well, some of that. And I don't want to take any credit away mm-hmm. from the defense because they were so good.
Yeah.
Especially the defensive line. That offensive line for the Patriots looked like
And I said that last week. I'm like, they should have about 7 sacks against that offense.
They tried, man. In fact, Fatu Kasi off the line one of those times was touching Drake May as he was turning around to hand the football off to the point where I was like, did he even know he was back there?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he got back there so quick, I wonder if he knew that he was like, oh, wait, where am I?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. Another one here, D'Amico Autry or no D'Amico Autry, and he is returning this week.
Mario, or at least he's eligible to return this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, eligible to return.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mario Edwards has to be in the mix. Like
absolutely.
Just has to be in strong the mix.
For a moment, and I don't know if I was wilding because, again, my brethren, mm-hmm. Fatu Kasi, mm-hmm. Nigerians, you know, we got to stick together.
I understand.
But for a moment, I was like, is it possible that you end up with D'Amico and Mario together on the offense, on the defensive line for a good amount of time?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's a wonderful place to be, that you have those guys, you probably rotate all of them in and feel great. And that's still feeling good because you have Settle and Khalil Davis have covered themselves in glory in their moments. So, like, I think that you've got a really strong middle of the defensive line, especially because D'Amico Autry brings something that you needed, which is a dude who also does a really great job cleaning up some of these run things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm here for that once that actually comes to fruition.
Quick one here, and shout out to the schedule makers. I think the Patriots have themselves a quarterback.
Agree.
I think they have themselves a quarterback.
Now, to what degree is a question, because the second half, he got comfortable, and we'll talk more about it. I'll nitpick at this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you might have over-blitzed him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that you were going with the game plan of, hey, that's a rookie quarterback. What do you do with rookie quarterbacks? Blitz him. Heat him up and see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
And Drake May, what that did was he was able to kind of stand back there and feel comfortable and use his legs to kind of pretty good pocket management, mind you.
He looks the part.
Use his legs, and then you had easy things on the backside because there were blitzes, and now you're dealing with like zero coverage half the time, or maybe not half the time, but a decent amount of the time. And now the read is easy. Now, can he stand in there and read a defense if they're actually showing him an NFL level coverage?
And there's tape on him too now.
Right.
You know,
but he handled that part, like the very entry level part of it, as well as he possibly could, considering the team that he had around.
Yes. Kalen Bullock might just be one of those dudes that the ball always finds.
Turnover defense.
He's a guy that I think is just going to, the ball's going to come to him at some point in a lot of games. I think Kalen Bullock has that knack. Just my thought watching him over the course of 6 games and specifically yesterday, I think he's one of those guys that he may have some shortcomings here and there. Maybe not, but he may have some. But I think he's going to be a guy that's just always around the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things in sports. I try and like stick to the rivers and lakes that I feel comfortable with, mm-hmm. with statements that are based largely in fact and stats.
Yeah, there's no EPA involved in my take.
No, but this is one of those ones in sports that I actually feel comfortable making, which is just seems to have a nose for the football.
No,
it just he just seems to always be around the football, and I kind of agree. He just always seems to be there, doesn't he?
I think the ball finds him.
Fair enough.
It's not even just the nose for the football. I think there are guys that the ball just finds you.
This has been your edition of Sports Cliches right here on Sports Radio 610.
Here's one that's maybe not all sunshine and roses. I don't think there's anybody on this team. There is a number two, but I don't think there's anybody on this team that makes me more nervous than Tommy Townsend. He makes me nervous.
Really?
I don't trust him to come up kick with the big punt when he needs to.
This man boo-booing on the kicker. Or the punter in this instance.
He just makes me nervous. It's what I feel. It's passing thoughts. And you know who's second?
My opinion.
You know who's number two on that list?
I would like to hear this.
Dalton Schultz.
Well.
Makes me nervous.
Yeah. That one I can go with you on.
That might be number one.
It is number one. I don't know. He just wanted to be weird and bring up Tommy. I don't know. You got a beef with Tommy Townsend at this point.
He just makes me nervous. He just makes me nervous.
Yeah. You got a beef with Tommy Townsend. But no, Dalton Schultz, absolutely.
I don't know what's going on, man.
Clint's been hard on him now. I think it was operating from tough love, but he's been hard on him when it comes to kind of his demeanor on the field and seeming like maybe he's just like not giving 100 or not feeling like he's, finishing plays or whatever. And all right, I can understand how maybe you feel that way, especially if you're not in the flow of everything to the degree that you want to. And of course, this is all speculation. I'm not saying that this is definitively what's happening, but assuming that that's the case, when you're getting all these targets, you better catch them.
Yeah. And that interception that
I'm putting that on CJ. Throwing back across his body and you're putting it behind him.
Go get the ball,
him.
Man.
You're putting it behind
him. He was passive on it with his hands. They were right by his chest. Go get the ball. I got two more for you real quick. And we have to talk about, and we'll talk about this when we nitpick later, but don't ignore in victory moments and the first half penalties, giving up that late TD, missed field goal, and the interception. I was never in doubt. This game to me was never in doubt, not even at 14-7.
No.
But
it was in frustration though.
Yeah. wasn't in doubt, but it was in frustration.
Yeah, yeah. They had a point in time where they had a few drives that they did not get more than 14 yards on.
Yeah.
In the middle of this game. And it's just like, hey guys, why are you stalling out in this way? You went from 4.5 minute drives in the first couple of possessions to quick 1.5 minute drives. Yeah. Giving the ball back to the other side. That's frustrating.
And then this final passing thought, it ties in directly with how we started the show, and I feel like this is a Super Bowl caliber team. If turnovers are added to the mix with this defense, if they become a turnover defense, which they really hadn't created a lot.
Cancel Christmas.
Woo, baby, it's on. If they can start creating turnovers like they did yesterday, it's on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We're just getting going here in the loop. Sports Radio 610 on a victory reaction Monday here. Texas win 41-21. And coming up next, let's get into the question of the day, which, as you might imagine, is going to be Texas related. What was the single most important play of this game? 713-572-4610. We got some potentials. We'll talk about all that next.